Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today we have the lovely Nicole Fitch, and she has such an amazing story. I think you're going to hear that I didn't speak much because I was mesmerized at how her life has unfolded and how she went from complete loss of faith and trust in the universe at a tender young age of 15 to this place where she's being guided and listening intuitively, listening to her body by age 40. And it's really an amazing story. I do want to warn you that there are a few details in the beginning about a close loved one passing away, in case there's anyone you're with that maybe that wouldn't be a good thing to listen to today. But it's very brief, and then we move into the rest of the story. So let's go meet Nicole. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. I'm Amy Wheeler, your host. Are you needing to earn some continuing education units? Well, we have the exact thing for you. Every single Monday night, we have a Monday night clinic where we practice postures, breathing, and meditation towards a very specific theme of the month. And then we stay afterwards and we talk about the theory of why we chose what we did for that particular practice. We give you a completion certificate, which you can turn into your continuing education body. And we're growing all the time. We have a wonderful community. You can do this live with us online, or you can do it through a recording. Go to www.theoptimalstate.com and check out the Monday Night Clinic, and we would love to see you there. Welcome, Nicole, from the other side of the world.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for having me.
Where are you coming from, Nicole?
I'm coming from the Gold Coast in Australia, so Queensland.
Beautiful, beautiful country.
It and is.
6 a.m. for you and it's 3 p.m. for me.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in autumn now. Yeah. Are you in summer at the moment?
We're going into summer. We're in spring, just hitting spring. I always have to remind myself that about the Southern Hemisphere, that you're opposite. And I have some great friends in Australia, Lee Blaschke and Janet Lowndes and others. And I talk to them once a week just because they're my friends and we have a get together every Tuesday. And I have to remember every time, like, they're having Christmas in the middle of summer when it's hot. But yet they have these cute little snow things all over their houses.
Aww. So,
anyway, it's interesting, you know. Have you been to the U.S.?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, I definitely want to go there sometime for sure.
Well, Nicole, it's hard to jump right into like the hard parts of our lives and where yoga came in. And so why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, what you're passionate about, why you like to get up in the morning. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Okay, sure. All right. Yeah, a little bit about me. Well, I'm a mom and my little boy's 8 years old now. I'm excited to wake up each day to do my practice, my yoga practice that's evolved over time, which I'll share a little bit later. I am currently studying occupational therapy. So I'm a university student, which I absolutely love. I've got another role of as a wife as well. I've got a husband and I've got a beautiful dog, Sally, who may come in soon. She's a whippet. And yeah, she's beautiful. And so I absolutely love animals. I'm very connected to nature. Yeah, I guess my happiest when I am moving, walking with my dog, and just being able to be without being busy.
Isn't that the best? And we should also say you were also trained as a yoga therapist.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was trained as a yoga therapist, and I've press pause on that at the moment while I'm doing my OT studies. And yeah, I did that 3 years ago. But with my teaching, which I was teaching for over 10 years, that evolved over time when I started to work with the community. So that's when I realized that people needed more of a holistic approach, and I needed to understand what people needed more. And that's what guided me to do further studies. I studied with Maria Kirsten. Did you know her, Amy?
Don't think I do, unless I don't know her last name. Sometimes
Oh,
you know people
yeah.
by face and their first name, but it doesn't ring a bell.
She was from America, but she passed away suddenly. This was after my training with her. I did yoga for mental health, and she had yoga for grown-ups. That's what her, which was really amazing what she delivered. So I did training with her, and then that guided me to train with Christine Weber as well.
Good.
So Christine and Maria were very close friends. And then I made the decision to do the yoga therapy training in Australia. Yeah. And from there, I was teaching at the mental health hospital. And that was one of my intentions. My dream was to spread awareness about mental health through Beyond Blue, which is in Australia. Have you heard of that before?
No,
Beyond
no.
Blue?
No.
Okay, it's mental health support and suicide prevention support in Australia. It's really great. So I was able to speak for them, and then I was able to live one of my dreams and teach at the mental health hospital for 3 years. And that's where I started. The yoga therapy was so essential to be able to work with the people in the mental health hospital.
And then working on becoming an occupational therapist also. I've often said, I think OT and YT, yoga therapy, just go so beautifully together, hand in hand.
Oh, they definitely do. It's just felt so natural going into occupational therapy. I finish up my studies next year. So I finish my bachelor then. And it's going to be a wonderful way to be able to thread my yoga tools with clients and to be able to help people in the healthcare field.
That's wonderful. Congratulations on coming this far. Seems like you've been a student for many, many years now, which is a wonderful thing to be.
Yes, definitely. Always a student. It's great. I love it.
So, Nicole, tell us a little bit about how it is that you came to yoga. There was some things that happened in your early life, which we can talk about. And then we'll get into how did yoga help you overcome some of these challenges? So where would you like to begin with all of that?
Sure. Okay. I'll start with I grew up in South Australia. I was a farm girl, and we do have a very close family. And I did have anxiety growing up, almost just like a sense of uncertainty that something bad was going to happen. And just from learning about the lifespan development, I see that this can be a common occurrence with young people. And this was more so around the years of probably around, I think, 10 plus. So just worried about my loved ones that something bad was going to happen. And so I remember that to be always there. And then on 2, 3 days before Christmas, when I was 15, my mum and myself, we got home because we had to drive back to the farm from town. This was after doing our shopping. And I just had sinking feeling in my being that something absolutely terrible had happened. I just knew it within my being.
Before you even got home, like as you were driving.
Yeah, well, when we just got home and the dogs were all out, the farm dogs, and usually dad would be out to help carry the groceries in. And then it was an eerie feeling when we got home, and my mum was walking in front of me, and then I just hear her scream and want me to go the other way because my dad, he had a farm accident. He fell off the hedge, which where he was cutting like a big tree. And yeah, whether he slipped or saw a snake, we don't know. But yeah, it was an accident and he fell and he hit his head. And we just knew that he had died instantly. And from that moment, I lost complete faith. My trust had gone completely because back then I didn't think anything like that could happen to a family that was so close. I was only 15 and I grew up to think that we're okay, that this sort of thing just didn't happen.
And was that kind of religious that if you are a good person and you do the right things, horrible things won't happen? Or where do you think you got that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that because literally I did not grow up with religion at all. But of course, we hear of God. And I remember screaming out, "I hate you, God," at the
Wow,
time. I
at the
remember
time.
that. "I hate you." I felt like I just completely lost all faith in that moment.
So prior to that, you weren't necessarily thinking about God a lot, but in that moment, you were like, yeah, we're done.
Yes, I remember that so clearly. It's strange that happened when I yelled out. And then from there, of course, my whole being was in a state of shock and trauma. Everything that you read about with what trauma is, my whole nervous system was shattered.
Isn't that interesting? I think it especially happens when it's a shock like that, so unexpected that our nervous system gets shattered. It cannot deal with what has happened,
Yeah,
which is maybe a little
exactly.
different. I'm not saying there isn't also trauma when someone's been ill for a while and you go visit them at the hospital, but maybe there's a little more time to digest that versus this shock that you say.
That's right, for sure. Because you can't have any safety in that moment. There was no safety, and your caregiver, your my mother, like, how can she be provide safety when she has experienced that as well?
And she
Yeah.
was, her nervous system and mind and heart were probably shattered also.
Exactly. Yeah. And around the Christmas as well,
Yeah.
we have these expectations of these times to be a happy time that really impacts. And it's interesting how it's 25 years since that happened, but your whole being remembers that time every Christmas.
I want to talk about that because I have many of my yoga therapy clients tell me this, that when they've had a trauma, the anniversary of that trauma, it's not just like, oh, it's Christmas time. That's when it happened. But literally, there's visceral feelings in their bodies that tell them that this is the time of the year. Is that what you experience?
Always, Amy. And it's interesting looking back over my, like, because in Australia we have a mental health plan. So I get to see my psychologist every 6 weeks, which is really great. And that's funded by the government and through our healthcare. And when I see the doctor's notes, I always seem to have, I wouldn't say relapse, it's more of a lapse in my mental health, and it's always, always around Christmas. So when that happened, it's so interesting because I'm learning about the trauma response through my yoga therapy training. And it was only when I started learning from Maria, she was a yoga therapist herself, about the polyvagal and the dorsal shutdown. And I didn't know what that was until I started doing the training. And one of the questions is how it impacted all my layers, the physical, mental, etc. I was, yeah, completely shut down and numb That was my way of coping in that stress response. So going into that, shutdown when it happened before I found yoga, that led to mental challenges, chronic mental challenges, physical challenge on all layers. And a big part was that dorsal shutdown. And I literally felt like I was dead.
Let's unpack that for anyone who is not as familiar with polyvagal theory. And dorsal shutdown basically means that your nervous system cannot handle the threat that it is experiencing, whether that's real, imagined, remembered. We all have these times where we feel so under threat that our body can go limp. And, we liken it to when a cat has caught the mouse is still alive, but every part of them has gone limp in an attempt to survive. So is that what you're talking about when you say I've gone numb?
Definitely. Yeah, that's what it was. And I tried to run away. I tried to flight. And that's where I started to, I moved away from my home and moved to the city. I couldn't wait to move away. I needed to be away from my family and anywhere where it reminded me of what happened. So I moved 5 hours away to the city. In Adelaide, and that's where I started to numb myself with like partying. That was my escape. So my coping mechanism was going out, partying on the weekend, reckless behavior. That was the only thing that I looked forward to, was to be able to escape my pain. My mental pain, my physical and emotional pain was to shove it away because there wasn't any awareness on mental health back then.
That partying just either distracted you or made you not think about it or made you actually numb from whatever substances.
Definitely. And it gave me a high that, well, it enabled me to be able to feel, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, enabled me to be able to feel joy because there was no feeling joy at all during the week when I was coming down from that. I was stuck in that nervous system response from the death of Dad.
And had you put that together at the time that, okay, I'm suffering here at home. My father's passed away. I'm going to try to get out of here. Did you have any idea that you were getting away from your father's passing? Or were you just like, oh, I'm at the
No.
time we leave home?
No, because I don't even think like you couldn't Google these things back then at all. I didn't have like the internet to be able to ask these questions.
My name is Amy Wheeler. I'm the host of the Yoga Therapy Hour, but also the creator of a mobile app that's based on the gunas of yoga and Ayurveda. It's the first of a kind, and we'd love for you to try it for free. The app is called The Optimal State, and it tracks the state of your gunas, and then it gives you therapeutic interventions. Now we're starting to add Dharma Talks as well as Yoga Nidra. And we think these are wonderful ways that you can do some self-care and take care of yourself on a regular basis. So come join us, the Optimal State app. We'd love to see you over there too. Or
So,
TikTok. You might find 500 other kids that are also dealing with that and telling their stories and.
exactly. I was getting all these physical symptoms as well. I was constantly having tonsillitis and I was continuously on antibiotics as well. My body was run down. There was a time when I had to go to hospital because of how sick I was physically. And they would give me the antibiotics. That's why I love what I'm doing now because it's a holistic approach. So then it all came crashing down when it was after a big night out and I pretty much woke up and I had a vision of that I could go down a path that's going to be really hard, and I was considering of being a drug addict. And I had the path of finding the lie, and I knew that that was going to be really hard. Both paths were going to be really hard. It's lovely that it does bring up emotion. The reason that I chose that good path is because of my beautiful upbringing. Yeah.
Like you had a familiarity with goodness and sweetness and support. Is that what you mean?
Because my mum was always there for me, and my dad as well. We just had a really, really close family. We had very good values. I just knew that I wouldn't go down that other path because I wouldn't want to ever do that to my family. But I knew that I had to go down. I knew that I had to. The main thing was that I needed to be able to find myself again. So from that moment, I made some changes, and I hadn't found yoga yet. This is 3 years off, but I will fast forward a little bit. But before I went there, I was able to go to the doctor, and straight away he just gave me Valium. It gave me like a tub of Valium to be able to calm down. And then he referred me to a psychologist, and that was an uncomfortable feeling. He was a psychologist, you imagine, back in the past. This was back in 2004, 2005. So he's in his black suit sitting down at the table, and oh, Riley's coming in to give me a hug. Her
Are you
beautiful. So
crying?
I'm just sharing my
Were you
story, sweetie.
crying?
Yeah, I was, but I'm okay.
Oh, how sweet that he came to give you a little hug. Oh,
Yeah, he's
you
so
are
sensitive
sweet.
and beautiful. Yeah, so he told me I wasn't in that state to be able to talk, right? And this is why the yoga is so helpful, because firstly, we need to feel safe in our body. And so it was more talk therapy. And he told me about mindfulness. And so I practiced that. And I still remember those moments walking along the lake, connected to nature, soaking in the mindful moments. But unfortunately, in that time, because of my trauma and my imbalance in what was going on in my nervous system, I was having a lot of impulsive thoughts. So I would constantly have in my mind something bad was going to happen, say to my mum. So anything to do with safety, I would have impulsive thoughts. And impulsive thoughts is loud thoughts that many people get, that impulsive intruding, and can make you feel anxious. And because I was young, I didn't have the understanding back then of what it was. I became very stuck in this thinking cycle. I became very just ruled by what was going on in my mind.
Like a kind of a obsessive compulsive disorder type thing.
That's what I ended up getting diagnosed with, Amy.
Oh,
Yeah. I became aware of what was going on in my mind. I wasn't in tune with what was going on in my mind, and maybe because I was being present.
wow.
But then I became aware of these loud thoughts that were really scary to me. This was going on and really intruding on my life. But I ended up put on medication from the doctor, and that seemed to just help me survive.
And how
But it
old were
didn't.
you at this point? 25, 30?
19.
Oh, 19. So
19.
we're still in your teenage years. Okay.
Yeah, it gets better. Yeah, still in my teenage years. Yeah, this time here was full on, but I'm really grateful that it came on really hard. And I'm grateful that it came on, looking back, really hard quickly, so I could start to recover. When I was on the medication, it just enabled me to be able to start to feel myself a little bit more. I moved away once again. So I moved to Melbourne, another city in Australia. And I was always a very sociable girl, and people would always see me to really be bright and bubbly. That's just in the way that I am. My true self, and I thrived off of being around people when I would say that I'm quite quirky and fun to be around. And I did like to party and be amongst it. I was still drinking on the weekends, but it wasn't like I was in my previous party period. So I'll fast forward a little bit because I lived in Melbourne for 3 years. I stayed in a job for 3 years. I was working in retail, and that was really, really great. I was surrounded by people. I still had times where I always had the challenges with my mind, which I would just live with it. I didn't have the coping strategies to be able to help me at the time. So I was living in that sympathetic drive a lot of the time. And then when I was 21, I went to see a psychologist because I hadn't seen a psychologist since back in Adelaide. And I felt like it was time to work through my grief because I knew that there was work that I needed to go through. I wanted to be able to work through what I was feeling. But this psychologist who I saw back then, we had a couple of sessions, but then she referred me to a psychiatrist. She said to me that I handled everything the best I could, considering what I was going through, but you need to see a psychiatrist. So I went to see a psychiatrist and I told him what was going on with me, and this is very biomedical, and he was really lovely, but he pretty much said straight away to me, "You've got OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder." So my OCD was through the impulsive thoughts of repetitive thoughts. So I would have words going over my head continuously saying that I was going crazy. And what resembled the OCD was the impulsive thoughts, but I also had the checking as well. So I had the checking of to see if the doors are locked and safety, really, safety with my family. So worried that something bad will happen to my family.
Can I ask a question, Nicole? Did the psychiatrist let you know that they diagnosed you with OCD? Did they feel it went back to the original trauma of what happened with your father, or was it kind of there even before that and that made it worse? Did you or them have any conclusion about that?
No, from what I remember, it was more so he was like, okay, you're on this medication. You need to take more of this medication to get the right dose to be able to help with your mind. He didn't go deep into
Yeah, which
where it was coming
maybe as a
from.
psychiatrist, they aren't doing quite as much talk therapy and
Yeah, for sure. So when I was able to get on that right medication, I got to a point where I was able to be able to think more clearly, and I still had a lot of anxiety in my body, but my mind was a lot calmer because those impulsive thoughts quieted down, but my body was still anxious. And then I decided to make another move. It was definitely through a beautiful guide from above because I had a vivid dream of walking along the beach barefoot in the sun and feeling happy. And I'll never forget that beautiful, vivid dream. And I just woke up the next morning and I'm like, okay, I'm moving to Queensland.
because of the Sunshine Coast and the,
I was guided. I was guided by this dream and I had to follow it. And looking back there, I start to notice that I start to become more connected to something greater than me.
And would you have called that God at the time or even now? Or was it literally something greater than you that was guiding
Yeah, I always call it like, yeah, the universe. The universe was
you?
guiding me. For sure. The universe was really guiding me. And it was guiding me back when I was having that breakdown as well through that path I was going to take for sure.
Can I ask more
4 weeks.
questions before we go on? Because to me, this is one of the most interesting parts of your story is that when you saw that your father had passed away, you said, "I hate you, God." And you said you lost all faith. But now it feels like 6+ years later, these things are happening to you, these dreams, these visions, you're being guided, you're following the guidance. Suddenly it seems like you might be tapped into some kind of faith or belief that there's something out there, something benevolent that you can trust.
Definitely, because it was lovely. It felt a really beautiful connection to something greater than me was really nice. I felt like I started to regain hope and I made my move to Queensland. I had a beautiful VW Beetle back then, and it was packed to the brink because I was materialistic back then. So I had like 100 dresses, party dresses.
My gosh.
I loved my party dresses back then. And I moved up to Queensland. I only knew one person. I was very, very brave. That didn't bother me. Like, I was happy to step out of my comfort zone. So it wasn't long after I moved up that I actually met my husband today. So
I
I met
wondered if you were
him.
going to say that.
Yeah. And he was my first serious relationship. And I was 24 then. I met him and then he moved in with me not that long after we met. And that was when I thought I knew that I wanted to see a psychologist and I really wanted to work on what was going on. I felt there was more to my healing than what I was doing. So back then, it wasn't a safe thing for me to do at the time, but I started to go off my medication, which wasn't a good thing at the time at all. But I just thought at the time, met a partner, I'm feeling more happier. Maybe I can start going off the medication. And whilst I was doing that, I want to make sure to say that, yeah, it wasn't the right thing to do at that time because it's essential that you do have that doctor guidance and that it is safe for you to do so. But across the road from me, there was a yoga meditation studio and it was like a Hare Krishna. Yeah, it was more Hare Krishna style yoga, but it was really beautiful. Like, it was very low cost. It wasn't like traditional many studios what you see these days. So it was very authentic. And I walked past and I saw that they had intro to meditation. So up I went. I remember the day. There was probably about six of us and the lovely teacher, Andrew, a guy who was holding the class, and he introduced us to yoga. And we didn't do any physical postures. He brought attention to our breath. And we also did Nadi Shodhana. And also we had the mala beads as well. Just I remember sitting there and doing the japa beads and having that tactile input by touching and feeling and be able to be in the moment and the Nadi Shodhana. I was like, oh my God, like I'm not my mind. And he made a comment, like it was the first time I heard that he said, you're not your thoughts. And I was so ruled by my thoughts for such a long period of time since, geez, it was like 7 years just ruled by these constant impulsive thoughts. But my mind was able to calm down for me to realize that I wasn't my thoughts and I had a sense of peace.
Did it blow your mind to hear you are not your thoughts? Was that like mind-blowing to you?
Yeah.
Like, well, what am I then?
It gave me a sense of freedom.
And you
Yeah.
said you felt peaceful.
Yeah, and I remember just walking down the stairs and I felt peaceful. And from that moment, I knew that I was going to be 100% committed.
To yoga.
Oh, yeah.
You were in.
100%. And I remember I would practice at home and I would go in my wardrobe and I remember sitting there with my beads and I would also do the walking meditation too, which was really helpful. So I had the japa beads and I'll be touching the beads and repeating this mantra that they gave us, these particular words that they use. I can't think of it right now, but that's okay.
It's probably sacred anyway. You're probably not supposed to tell us.
And it was these words that I was able to repeat, and it was a mindful practice. So my mind really needed that anchor for sure. So I continuously went back to this studio and I was introduced to the postures, the asanas, and I noticed how stiff my body was, which I was very grateful for to have such a stiff body because it gave me something to feel. Because like without that, I wouldn't know, it would be like being completely hyper flexible, would be hard to feel into your body. I started to do the postures. So I started to feel like calmer in my mind for sure. And that light was lit within me. I found that in Shavasana, the resting pose at the end, I did experience a lot of anxiety, and it took me many years to feel safe in Shavasana. It really did. So I found that it was interesting observing how the koshas started to work on the different koshas in different times in the time when I was ready. Shavasana was not my favorite pose of the class because when I started going to another studio, which was more asana focused, people would get up and go at Shavasana. Maybe for many different reasons, but I know that the next studio was definitely more asana focused. It was more flow yoga. So my practice started to evolve and change. I was only, 24, 25. I guess I'd just be driven by the postures more so.
Can I ask, did you get that same mental effect with the strong posture work? You know how you said when you were doing the Japa mantra and, some of the more subtle tools with the Hare Krishnas, you had this immediate good feeling in your mind. Were the asanas also giving you that?
No, they were, but not as much as the meditation and the pranayama. They were the
Interesting.
roots that I really needed to, but I found that, I don't know, the postures, because it was more of like a flow yoga, it became a way of like running away in a way again.
I'm not surprised. Almost like an exercise addiction or something.
Yeah.
A strong word to say it, addiction, but kind of in that vein, it's what I'm hearing.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. It was more like faster pace. I was still getting the beautiful effects. I really loved seeing the changes within my body. And I definitely, like, when I asked my mum and my friends, did they notice any changes with me? And when I started yoga, she definitely noticed the changes that I was like much more relaxed, much more happier. Because I felt like I had a passion. I had something that lit me up rather than partying. It was my light. It was my savior. It was my saving grace, yoga. And so just have to say, in that period from when I was 24 to say till around probably 28, around that 4 years, it was amazing that I had my saving grace in yoga. It was a very rocky time with my mental health. And this is something I wanted to mention today as well, that I became fixated on yoga, that yoga was going to actually heal me, right? Being in that yoga environment as well, I felt like I shouldn't be on medication if I've got yoga. And unfortunately, that wasn't safe for me at that time because Even though I started having regular psychologist appointments, which was so essential for me, it was a holistic approach that was needed. And yoga wasn't just yoga that I needed. I needed psychology. I needed the whole network to be able to support me. So when I was unmedicated, I was still able to work and I felt a sense, and I would go to practice every single day, and I would always know that I had a beautiful child's pose to come back to at the end of the day and at the start of the day. And I had that hope within me, but I wasn't right. I was highly anxious throughout the day. My nervous system was stuck. It got moved out of that dorsal shutdown, but it ended up being in that fight flight. It was dysregulated. And I was able to regulate myself when I was practicing yoga. When I was in the real world, there was just so many triggers that took me out of balance. So definitely when they say that the breakdowns are breakthroughs, it's so true. So I was holding on tight for 4 years, and I ended up being able to go back on the medication, which really helped balance me out more. And then I thought, okay, I want to do my yoga teacher training. And yoga gave me the belief in myself and also the compassion from my teachers at the time too. Compassion was a big key, being a student and hearing from one of my beautiful teachers, Alicia, who now I've actually gone back to, which is so special, gone back to my roots. She put her hand on my back and she just said, "I've been there before." I felt heard and I felt understood, and I didn't feel alienated that I was the only one going through that, and to realize that suffering was everywhere. I was able to look beyond my suffering and to be out. And then she said, "You know, you'll be a great yoga teacher." Yeah. And I joined up to do my yoga teacher training and met some beautiful people. And this was when I was about 28 years old, and I knew that that was when I started my vision down of being a mental health advocate and where I wanted to teach. But at the time, I was surrounded too by this flow yoga, fast-paced yoga, Ashtanga yoga. I started to experiment with that, but deep down, it didn't feel right for me. It was almost like it lifted my ego with being able to physically go through all these postures. But I was hoping there was going to be another way because it just didn't feel right for me. And I was going to different teachers, and with the Ashtanga, they were like, the advanced practitioner was to go through these series all the time. And fast forward a little bit, I was practicing Ashtanga at the time, and I fell pregnant. And this was when I was around 30. And I just changed my way. I stopped practicing Ashtanga, and my path changed with yoga. It came to be more yoga therapy. I was really listening to my body and my being and what I needed. It was very tailored to what I needed in the practice. I would go to a class and I would like adjust my practice and really listen to my body. Yoga really helped me through the pregnancy as well. It was another way to be able to test my incredible resilience through the labor and to realize that I was not my mind. I was a powerful being, and I was also able to let go of expectations. And all this way of thinking was shaped from yoga, from the philosophy, from the eight limbs that really helped me. The labor was such a powerful experience, and I had to overcome obstacles from dealing with doctors having their preconceived ideas of, with my mental health history, that I would need to be in juice, that I would need to be having pain relief, etc. But that's not what I wanted. So that's how yoga was so beautiful and how yoga therapy is so amazing because it honors that whole person, not just one part, because that wasn't me. This is a very spiritual experience for me to give birth, and I was okay with pain. I'd experienced so much pain, the physical discomfort I was going to feel, I knew that I was going to overcome that.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
amazing.
And it really empowered me because, like I did, and it was another awakening having my little boy. And the doctors thought that they were concerned if I was going to relapse. But I didn't because my obsessions and my impulsions and that, it wasn't around that. It wasn't around the preconceived ideas, what people think about OCD to be, worried about cleaning or worried about, the baby or whatever. It brought in another sense of safety within my being, having my boy.
Like a co-regulation with a safe nervous system.
Oh, that's exactly right, Amy. I never felt so present, and I was fortunate enough to be able to breastfeed him. And yeah, it was so beautiful and so calming for my nervous system and all the beautiful hormones that were released. That's Sally can come in. This is Sally.
First, we got to see your son. Now we get to see Sally the dog. Also,
Yeah.
coming to make sure mama's okay.
I know. Yeah. And so when I had Riley, when he was a little bit older, like, because I've pretty much my dharma was to be like just to focus on being a mother. Because of yoga, I never lost that sense of me, my sense of self. And many mothers lose that sense of self, but I found myself even more. And being able to have that practice and have that knowledge as well through the readings. And I gave myself that time each day to be able to find grounding. I remember being able to sit outside when my in-laws would come over and I'll practice Nadi Shodhana because Riley didn't sleep all night until he was at least 16 months. So I was up every 2 to 3 hours with him, and he was quite very attached as babies are. And I had him in the carrier a lot of the time. But when I was able to actually put him down, I was able to get my mat out and feel back into my new body again, which was lovely. So when he was a little bit older, we went down to the community center, which is the local community center, and we started a little garden there. At the community center, I asked the lady, I said, "Oh, do you hold yoga classes here?" And she said that, yeah, they do. And the teacher was finishing up. It was meant to be. And I started teaching there at the community center because I didn't want to just be teaching in a studio and I just didn't feel right. I just like to be anything but the norm, like just not follow everyone else. I wanted to be at the community center, and it started off with like 5 people who were coming every Wednesday. When I started there, the students had many different things going on with them, like, mental health, physical, emotional. They were so unique. This is what guided me into yoga therapy because everyone is so unique, and I wanted to serve these people to the best I could with confidence.
Yeah, that's right.
Through the teacher training and the workshops I'd done, I needed to do more training. So that's where I found beautiful Maria Kirsten. And she was teaching a yoga for grown-ups, which was in Lennox Head, which is down south. And I connected with her, and she actually studied occupational therapy too.
Wow.
Yeah, so her yoga therapy approach that she did and how she weaved in how we can support people in their everyday occupations through yoga therapy was incredibly inspiring. That really helped with how I delivered the class. I was completely committed to this class every single week for 5 years. And I built up a clientele of 20 people coming to the
Oh
class.
my gosh.
Yeah.
Yoga therapy class to keep an eye on
Yeah,
everyone.
it was great. And it wasn't just teaching a class, it was community. We were all close, but they formed beautiful friendships. They felt safe in their practice because I learned these new skills to be able to support them through the training of Maria. This is through COVID. I did yoga for mental health. So that helped me with understanding more about how I can support people with mental health. I loved that so much that I ended up enrolling in yoga therapy studies. And I was able to just tie in everything that I was learning and share it with the people. I had a beautiful lady who came and she had cerebral palsy. She was quite impacted physically with her condition, but that's okay. She can still come to my class. Anyone is welcome to my class, no matter what, because they can receive the benefits of yoga. And the postures were one small part of it. And having that knowledge and learnings from yoga therapy, I could adapt their practice to be able to suit their needs without anyone feeling like they need to strive to be anywhere else.
Yeah, they're not going for something. They're here right now and enjoying the sensations in their bodies. You know,
Definitely.
I'm imagining you teaching at this garden center after all that's happened in your life. And I think back to that young woman who was 18 or 19 who had that fork in the road. Do you want to be a drug addict and go that way? Or do you want to take another hard route, which is towards healing? But look where this hard route took you to the garden center, sharing your gifts with so many people. It's
I know.
definitely worth the effort, I think.
And that's where I experienced joy again. Joy delivering the practice and also within my practice as well. And thankfully, that happened. I was able to go through that healing before Riley came. And I'm still, of course, always healing. Every day is healing. One of my dreams also was to teach at the mental health hospital in Australia. It can be, I'm not sure what it's like in America, but it can be quite tricky getting yoga into the
Yeah,
healthcare.
very tricky.
But I was fortunate enough to get into that position through, so it's who you know to be able to get in. And through Maria, there was a lady who studied under her who was a nurse, and she was teaching at the hospital, and she was looking for someone to take the class. So me and another lady were able to take this new class at the hospital, and I taught there for 3 years. So it was an inpatient clinic. And this is where I was studying the yoga therapy then, and that was really helpful as well, because it was so different teaching at the hospital to the community. And I really loved both, but I really loved the small intimate classes at the hospital because it was very, very tailored to these individual people who were coming in. So I was there for 3 years and I've just actually finished up teaching there, which was a hard decision, but I just woke up one day and I thought, oh, I need to, because my well-being is just so essential and I want to make sure that I have got the space to be able to do all my well-being practices through yoga. And I had to take off that hat of being a yoga teacher because I was wearing that hat for a long time and it's such a part of who I am. So that was a little challenge in itself to take that hat off. So I was listening to one of your other podcasts with one of the ladies. I think she did have to do, she did the same. She had a break to take that off. And so I've done that and it was fine. It felt like the best decision for me because now I've gone back to one of my old teachers. I'm practicing, doing my yoga practice without having to have that extra thinking of like what I'm going to deliver to the
Can I use
people.
this in my class? You know, you're doing
Yeah, for
your
sure.
practice thinking about what you're teaching later, so.
And finding more about what else lights me up as well. So random things like this fascination about gorillas. I love it's just random things that really light me up, like looking at pictures of gorillas, like on Facebook, because I'm not on Instagram. The only thing I look at on Facebook is gorilla pictures through this lovely zookeeper. So
Oh
it's
my
nice
gosh.
having a break from the embodied wisdom therapies and that giving, giving, giving to be able to give to myself. And I know that it's going to start up again. I graduate from occupational therapy next year in October. And I know that I will be working in the mental health field and combining the, like, threading the two together because yoga therapy is such an incredible intervention as well. But it's got its own scope, of course, that I'll be able to share with people. But for now,
For now, it's you and the gorillas.
yes,
I love
definitely.
that. I mean, that goes back to this idea of joy and what brings you joy and being able to feel joy. So, well, Nicole, your story is so profound and beautiful, and it ended full circle in such a lovely way, like to see you with your son coming to check on you and your dog and your face lighting up, talking about the things you love and how you know when you have to take care of yourself. I mean, it's a really beautiful story. You know, there's still more to the story, but right now we're at a really good chapter.
For sure. Yeah.
So, can you
Yeah.
share with us your website in case anyone would like to be in touch with you?
Oh, that would be so nice. If anyone has got any questions or want to say hi, yeah, I'd love you to connect and just see how embodied wisdom therapies changes over time because at the moment it's on pause, but it's going to be restarting again next year when I graduate and I've got space to be able to deliver these incredible gifts to
Well,
help people
thank
on their healing
you.
journey.
Yeah, I love it that you're taking the time to finish school, focus on yourself and your family. So, thank you for being here today. It was so lovely to hear your story. I was mesmerized. I hardly spoke because I was just like, oh my gosh, I love this story. So, thank
I'm
you.
so glad I could get out everything. And I'm pretty sure I got out everything that I wanted to share as well. And I knew that, and it's like with my classes, I don't follow a plan. It's all intuitive.
Yeah.
So I have an idea, but usually it's like intuitive. And yeah, I had some things written down today, but yeah, I feel like I covered everything. And I just want people to know too that you can't rush your healing and just having that connection to your inner light. Finding that inner light, even if you're in complete darkness, there's always that glimmer of light through the clouds, and just to keep holding on to that as well. So,
All right. Thank you so much. It's been lovely. And we hope to talk to you again in a couple of years.
yeah, I love that. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Nicole, for being with us today. I think this idea that you are not your thoughts, especially for someone who has these kind of obtrusive, ruminating thoughts, to understand you are not that. It's just such a profound thing to reflect upon. So I leave you today with that reflection. And if you're interested in taking yoga therapy school, especially if you'd like to get a master's degree in yoga therapy, or maybe you already have another master's degree in something else and you want to do a post-master's, we have it all at Maryland University of Integrative Health, MUIH, which very soon will become Notre Dame of Maryland University. We are merging. And so very soon we will be the Integrative School of Health at Notre Dame University. So if you're listening to this after summer of 2025, it's the School of Integrative Health at Notre Dame University. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here today. We'll see you soon. Thank you to our guests today. And if you've ever thought about being on the podcast, we would love for you to come and tell your story. This podcast is not just for the famous people or the people who've written a book. This podcast is for everyday people like me and you to tell our stories of health and healing and beyond as yoga therapy, and Ayurveda has helped us. So please feel free to contact me if you have a story you'd like to tell on the podcast about your journey. There would be nothing more pleasant and pleasurable than getting to interview you and have you on the podcast. Don't be shy. You can do it. We're waiting for you to call. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.